Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for January/February. We're playing a little catch up this month, and so with that, we've got a big roundtable with us, which is super exciting. So, of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
What is up? I'm good. Glad to be here.
And then, quickly, around the very full table this month, Spider. What's up, Spider?
Howdy.
We also got our boy, Spencer. What's up, Spencer?
Chilling. About to go to work here in 2 hours? Yeah, 2 hours.
Awesome. What time is it there for you?
4:30 in the afternoon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that. How long is your shift? That sounds like fun.
It's a 14-hour day.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not cool.
Well, we're grateful you're here before you go on your 14-hour shift. So, wow, awesome. We also have, for the first time on the roundtable, via Spencer, we have Dia. How are you doing, Dia?
I'm doing good. Hello, everyone. Welcome.
We are glad you're here. And then we also have our boy Josh from Australia. Speaking of weird times, how are you doing early in the morning, Josh?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks. It's not too early. It's 10:30, so.
Oh, okay. That's not nearly as bad as I thought it was.
Perfectly sane.
Yeah. How's the little one doing?
She's doing really well. She's down sleeping at the moment, so the house is quite peaceful.
Awesome.
You know what I'm really excited about? In like a year, we're going to be able to get her on the mic, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah. You know, voluntary or otherwise, you're definitely going to hear that.
Yeah. Fair enough. And then finally, our boy Cabbage. How are you doing, Cabbage?
All right. I have a perfectly normal circumstance. Nothing interesting to report.
Fair enough. So... as you can see, quite the roundtable this month, and we are pumped about that. So the topic or topics for this month, our boy Josh came up with an idea, and so because of that, he's going to get to start us off. So start prepping, Josh. We're going to talk about game mechanics, and specifically some game mechanic that you love, a game you've played recently, or even at any point in your life, but something has stuck with you, or maybe I'll even open up a little wider, a game mechanic you hate. We can bring those up as well. And so we'll start with Josh. I would love to hear your game mechanic.
Yeah, sure. So the reason I came up with that idea is that there's a game I've been playing recently. It didn't come out recently, but it's a game called Oxenfree. So a little bit of background. It's a 2D platformer sort of style game, but it's more of a point-and-click adventure. It's got this really, really cool... really amazing story, really cool atmosphere, amazing sound.
Wait, hold up. You give me crap about what I've been playing this week and then you bring that up, really?
The game was released like a year ago, maybe?
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
Yeah. Right, fair enough.
Just 2016, to be fair. 2016.
30 seconds in, I'm already... this you set the tone of how this show is going to go, but all right.
That's what I do, baby. That's what I do.
Yeah, no, it's a really cool game. It's 2016, so relatively recent. Really, really cool sound. It's a really big element of the game. I know you guys mentioned... a couple of shows ago about how sound, most games, you can 10 minutes in, you've heard everything, it's not important. Whereas the sound in this is absolutely critical. You have to be listening to the sound. Recommended you have headphones on so you can listen very carefully to what's going on. So the mechanic inside this game, which is really, really cool, is you carry around with you a radio, like a pocket radio. And everything, I'm not going to spoil anything here, this is just basic gameplay stuff, but so one of the cool things is you have to, as you go throughout the game, you go to different areas, you can pull out your radio and tune the frequency and listen in to whatever signals you can pick up. And so there's a lot of signals that are relevant to progress the gameplay. You actually hear information and you have to listen to what the announcers are saying. You can also use it to there's lots of just, you know, background, you know, radio stations that you tune into, and you just hear all these neat little, you know, bits of background and lore to the story as you're playing. And I don't know, I'm sort of a pretty big fan of like, you know, broadcast radio in real life. Not necessarily, you know, top 40 stuff, but just being able to tune into the radio and pick up bits of different information depending on where you are. And the way that that's been integrated into this game and the way it really progresses the story, I think that's a really, really, really neat gameplay mechanic that I'm really enjoying. So,
and that is one that's really hard to pull off. I was just trying to think of a list of games out in the last 15 or 20 years that do it really well, and I think I count them on my hand. One of those would be Silent Hill, had sort of the same kind of pocket radio mechanic, and then of course you had Grand Theft Auto that really brought it out. But man, it's really hard to pull off, and it's really good when it does happen.
Well, there's also Fallout for
integrating
a radio into a game that's kind of sets you on a trail of breadcrumbs sometimes, and it's always fun.
Yeah, Fallout's a great example. I love the radio element in Fallout. Let me go to you, Cabbage, because you mentioned that you're excited about this. So I want to hear what you're playing slash what game mechanic you're digging.
Sure. So I've been playing Monster Hunter World, which, just so Jamie knows, came out January 26th of this year.
Yeah, it did.
Current year. That's all 2018, so we're clear. So this is a series that I tried to get into a long time ago on the 3DS. I got one of the games, just could not get into it for a lot of reasons that basically this new game, I would say, fixes. The other thing that helps is, like, I have five friends that are playing this right now, so for the co-op aspect, it's always better if you have people to play with. But honestly, this game, I can't pinpoint one mechanic. It's just the game. Like, it's got 1,000 mechanics in it. Because, so if you don't know anything about Monster Hunter World, which you probably do, but obviously it's what it sounds like. You hunt monsters, but it's pretty in-depth. It's one of the most in-depth games I've probably played. There's, like, I don't even remember how many weapon types, 15 something different weapon types. They all play like different classes. The thing that so one of the things that I can just really get into with a game when we're talking about mechanics is I like to call it a loot loop or a crafting loop, I guess you can say, where it's like the game is just always got carrot on the stick. It's like, there's just something that's always there that you can aim for, that you can go and see, okay, I need to go and hunt this thing or that thing to craft it. And this game does it probably better than any game I've played. But on top of that, it's not that you're just going and getting things. You're going and getting things that will help you hunt other things, because all the monsters in this game are either going to be weak or strong against certain damage types, elemental types, all that stuff. I mean, it is, like I said, it's super in-depth. I would not claim to understand even half of the game yet. I mean, I feel like every time I sit down and play the game, there's something else. I'm like, oh, I was doing that completely wrong. I'm an idiot. And now I need to watch like a 20-minute video on how I was using that weapon wrong or something. But if that sounds interesting to you at all, if you like games where it's like, okay, I need to go into this area and hunt this thing to craft this cool armor that will help me do this, I would say it's probably going to be up your alley. All the monsters in it, a lot of them do remind me of like a boss fight you would have in like a Dark Souls game, because they can often be that tough, and they are very specific things they're going to be, you know, weak against that you kind of have to learn. But the game has a fun way of like, you kind of learn it yourself. You, like, the game doesn't tell you, hey, this monster, go kill him this way. You have to go track him. You have to fight him a few times. Then you start to learn, okay, here are the weak points. It'll show it in your little journal. Here's the element it's weak to, that kind of stuff. So you feel like a hunter. That's what's cool. Like, it's not just the namesake of the game. Like, you actually basically become a true hunter of the things. You're tracking them. You're crafting traps just for them and all that. So I'm really digging it. I'm liking it.
I got a couple questions on that, because I've been seeing commercials for that game, and it looks really interesting to me, because it seems to me like an adult version of Pokemon, right? Like, it's like a more mature, more in-depth version of, you know,
the only thing I'd say is different is you can capture them to, like, put them in this arena mode thing, but all you do in this game is you're basically just killing the Pokemon. That's all you're doing. you don't train them and have them fight for you. You just go kill them, so skin them. So
what kind of story does it have? That's something I've been curious about. I claim pure ignorance on Monster Hunter. I know so little about anything, and so
it does not have a story. Technically, it does. I mean, it has cutscenes, but the story is completely uninteresting. It's about the gameplay. It really is. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. I usually don't either. But the gameplay is so good that the story is just like the cutscenes play, and you can't skip the cutscenes in this game. So usually I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm looking at my phone for like 3 minutes. I want story in games, but if it's this just generic, then I don't care. But yeah, so unfortunately, story is not a strong point in the game.
Gotcha. As far as like, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Being somebody who gets frustrated if there's a pretty steep learning curve in a game, is this a game that would frustrate me desperately, or does it kind of ramp you up? Like, I like a complex game, but I need it to kind of babysit me for a little bit, at least to get the hang of it.
I would say the early stuff is not too bad, but so I like to relate it to Dark Souls because of how, so of course this is Capcom, it's a Japanese developer. Japanese developers are really known for making these very complicated, like obscure systems and games where the game really does not explain it. And again, I don't claim to understand this game totally yet. But I've had to watch some videos, I've had to ask people that I play with, and they'll be like, no, this is how this works. And I'm like, I would never have gotten that from just playing the game. You know, so it's not very clear. A lot of the stuff is not clear. So if that kind of stuff is ever frustrating to you, I don't know, might not be that fun. I will say that you can learn a lot of the really important basic stuff from a lot of YouTube videos. This guy, RX, who's very well known for making just YouTube videos for lots of these kinds of games, he's made really good videos explaining stuff, very clear cut, telling you what you need to know to get into it. I don't know. Maybe you might be okay with it, but maybe not.
Fair enough. It's something to get on Gameflying if it just frustrates me.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely try it. Yeah. I will say just another thing real quick. Again, this is another Japanese thing. I don't know why they do this. The intro to this game, it's not as bad as Metal Gear Phantom Pain, which felt like 2 hours or whatever it was, but it's really long. It's really long until you're finally getting in and like, okay, now I'm playing. A lot of these Japanese games do that. The way you have to play with friends, the way you connect and link up and do quests is very vague and weird, too. They just can't seem to do things that everybody else has kind of hammered down. But, like, so many other things in the game, like 80% of the game feels very well designed and well thought out and stuff. But there's just little dinky stuff you have to deal with. But I would say definitely, yeah, get on Gamefly or something and try it. So,
gotcha. Fair enough. Spider, what about you? Game mechanic you enjoy?
So I've never played a Pokemon game before, but I started playing World of Final Fantasy about a month ago, and I'm really enjoying that. It's because from what I've read, it's basically Final Fantasy Pokemon. One of the mechanics it has, I don't know if Pokemon does this or has done this in the past, is it has the stacking mechanic where in World of Final Fantasy, your Pokemon are basically called Mirages. So you can stack your different creatures, your Mirages, up to 3 people high. You have your 2 main characters that you play with in the game, and each of them have to be in a separate stack. And they can either be the medium, you have a small creature, a medium creature, and then a large creature. And you can either change your main character's forms to medium size or to small to have them fit into the stack differently. And so then you can stack your other Mirages with them and kind of combine them into different to get different abilities. Like if you, for instance, if you have two earth type mirages in your stack, then you'll get earth bonuses for defense, but then it also makes you weak to wind, but it gives you stronger attacks with earth. So you kind of have to play with those and figure out, okay, based on the area I'm in, what are the best, what's the best way to put the stack together? And then it also has this wobble mechanic where basically if you get hit too many times, your stack starts to wobble, and then you can at that point either decide to unstack your stack and try and fight everyone individually, or you can try and get that last hit in to try and finish off the enemy before your stack topples over. Or there's an item you can use that, you know, it takes up your turn, but it stabilizes your stack. So it kind of forces you to play, you know, strategically with the how you're going to, you know, continue in the battle. So that's one thing that I've really been enjoying from that game. So if anyone has any Pokemon experience and can speak to as to whether that's a mechanic that's been in that game before, I don't know if this is original World of Final Fantasy or if they stole it from somewhere.
That's cool. What platform is that on?
PlayStation 4.
Gotcha. Does it? I'm going to ask the same story question over and over. Does it have much in the way of story?
It does, actually. Your two main characters, basically, you know, it is the standard, hey, we woke up and we don't remember anything, and so we're going to try and figure out what we can discover from our backstory and who we are from going through the world and experiencing things. So yeah, there's definitely, I mean, it's a JRPG with a story, with a Pokemon layer on top of it. So it's an interesting combination of a whole bunch of things all mashed together. But I'm
gotcha.
Really
and is it the one I've gotten? So my Final Fantasy games are all crossed now. Is it the one that has like that it calls back from the other Final Fantasy titles that like pulls creatures or whatever from like all across the Final Fantasy universe?
There's some there's chocobos and stuff like that, but a lot of the creatures are unique to this game. There are appearances of Final Fantasy characters. Like one of the first ones you run into is Yuna from Final Fantasy X. So there's appearances, and I haven't seen yet that you get to play with those characters. So far, they're just NPCs that help you out and are kind of quest givers and stuff like that.
Gotcha. That I really dig. That seems. And I think that is what I was thinking about. As somebody who loved Final Fantasy back in the day, to run across characters that you'd recognize playing early Final Fantasy games would be really fun.
Yeah, and speaking to your comment earlier about getting frustrated, like it ramps you up really well. Like, but you get to the point where you can get really nitty gritty with combining, you know, these different mirages into different stacks and figuring out, okay, what's going to be the best for each battle that I go into or area that I go into and stuff like that. So it does a good job of ramping you up and making sure you understand what's going on. There's been a few things I've had to look up online because either I don't know if I just missed the tutorial on how to do something or if they just didn't explain it. But otherwise, it's been pretty good at informing me on everything I need to succeed in the game.
Awesome. That's exciting. I love a good Final Fantasy game.
Can I also mention really quickly something that because you mentioned things that frustrate us in games as well?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Oh.
Quick time events. Having just completed Uncharted
4. Oh, I hate quick time events.
Yeah, having completed just Uncharted 4, there's this, I don't know if you guys have played that, but I won't like spoil a story, but there's a final battle mechanic that's a quick time event type thing where there's a sword coming at you and you have to either dodge left or right or parry left or parry right, depending on what direction the sword's coming at, but it's just really hard to tell how the enemy's swinging at you, and so that the last battle can go on for a while and you can die a lot before you can actually complete it. And it kind of takes the fun out of the story in there. You know, I have a lot more fun when they just say, okay, either we're going to take all the controls away from you and show you a cool cutscene, you can sit back and enjoy it, or we're going to give you full control and you get to, you know, interact with this, you know, cutscene, you know, but you're not just button pressing, you're, you know, actually moving the stick or moving your character around. So that you can actually pay attention to what's going on in the cutscene. So,
yeah, I agree. I hated that fight at the end of Uncharted 4. It's annoying. Yeah. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
Let me, so I'm going to come back to that point here in just a second. So let me get this in everybody's brain to be rolling around on, because I think revisiting QuickTime events would be good. Also, I think other game mechanics that you find frustrating would be good. But before we get into that, let me get Spencer into it. But by the way, I think Josh, maybe? Somebody's super noisy.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but I'm hearing it also.
Okay.
Sounds like someone's in the shower.
I just I was making some adjustments there. Hopefully that's fixed it up.
Gotcha. It's still there a little bit. It's not nearly as bad as it was. There we go. Now it's good. So, all right, Spencer, I'll get you in here real quick as far as game mechanics, game you're playing, that kind of stuff.
I've been playing a lot of GTA recently. We're actually trying to do the Criminal Mastermind run, which is all the heists, same people on hard difficulty without dying. And the movement mechanic in GTA when you go to get into a vehicle, but sometimes if you press a direction, we actually blended someone. They walked into the the plane, the propeller on the plane.
And oh, it's God.
GTA movement is so a pain in the ass sometimes.
Yes.
Where you just, oh.
It's like, hilarious. It's like they sort of, in some ways, it's like they, Rockstar sort of forgot how to use analog. Like, it almost moves digital sort of sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, really hard.
Yeah. GTA has just always been a franchise that the game mechanics, as much as I love GTA, always feel a little off. Like the shooting at it, oftentimes the driving it, like everything just feels like it's not quite there. Yet it's
tries to do everything. Fun. It tries to do everything at once, but it can't do it all at 100%.
Yes. And yeah, I love them. And we'll play every single one that they put out. So
much.
Yeah. They got me even if they're not perfect. So yeah, I definitely hear you there. Dia, what about you? What have you been playing / game mechanics you enjoy?
I've been playing a lot of Ark Survival Evolved. If you ever heard of it.
Ooh, I was about to bring that one up because I'm not playing Ark, but I know some guys that work at Ark. And it sounds really, really interesting going back on that Monster Hunter theme. So I'm excited to hear about this.
Yeah. Pretty much if you don't know what Ark is, you wake as a man or a woman. You can customize your character. And depending on the map, you wake up on an island. And pretty much you start from there. All you have to do is survive. You can... Sorry about this. I'm not professional.
Don't worry about it. We're not either.
Pretty much you have like every single thing in the environment is craftable and has a use. Even like spoiled meat, you can combine that with something and make narcotics. One of my favorite things is like pretty much the game itself. You start from scratch and you have to go like all the way to the top. And while you're going through that, you can tame dinosaurs as well on your way. Some, as you're going up as well, you level up as well. And you get to learn new, like, engrams. Engrams is pretty much, like, with each level, there's, like, a new item that you can learn to craft. And sometimes with the different item, you have to... There's like a specific like tape crafting table for it. So you can't just have one little thing that just crafts everything for you. So you kind of have to like work your way up.
The way I understand it is you just have to figure out different combinations of stuff because it's not real obvious.
Yeah, you can just look it up on the wiki, which is what I do sometimes. Or you could just figure it out on your own because sometimes, well, always. When you hover over the item, it'll show you the things you need, and then you just go out and grind for those unless you already have them in your base.
Go ahead, sir.
I was going to say, most of my knowledge about Ark is just that I see it on Steam all the time. And so I know there's dinosaurs. I know it has the survival tag. Is it, because I don't know this, is it like a player versus player thing where like you're running into other characters and like fighting for territory? Is it more player versus environment?
You can choose either one. You can do single player by yourself, which is pretty much you versus the environment. Or you can go into a server online and do PvP, which is player versus player. You can either go by yourself, or you can team up with a group and pretty much fight everyone else from there. Or you can just do player versus environment, which is what I'm doing right now, because player versus player, I don't feel like... I have flashbacks of Rust. I don't feel like going through that again. But I found that player versus environment is a lot more like calmer. It's more fun for me and a little more peaceful as well. But instead of like worrying more about people, you start to worry more about like the carnivorous dinosaurs that come and get you.
That sounds awesome.
I'm glad that she brought that up, because I was thinking about Ark as we were talking about this, because the thing that scares me about it, Tommy, is that one of the guys I work with actually has a server, and so they're constantly talking about it. That both of the guys that I work with play it, and one of them actually commented this week that he has 900 hours. An Ark.
Wow.
Okay. Like, and they say that like it's nothing. Like, we played a lot of World of Warcraft, but I think that's pretty much everything we have in World of Warcraft over, 15 years. Yeah. And Ark's been out a long time, but it ain't been that long. And
nuts.
From what I hear, that's a regular thing with Ark, and I'm really, really tempted to play it, but I'm afraid to get sucked in.
Yeah, you were saying somebody has 800 hours. I have a friend who's always on it on Steam, and I'm looking at his playtime. He has almost 2,000 hours in that game.
Oh, wow.
If you're ever listening, Dan, you're ridiculous.
Does he just idle the game to just stuff build up or something? Maybe. Like,
yeah, if you look at any of my Steam play times, that's 80% of it.
I honestly would not be surprised if, because I know he plays it with his wife. I would not be surprised if that's honest. I'm pretty sure he does play that much.
Like, he could be using mods as well.
Sure, yeah.
They talk, like, these guys that I work with talk about 900 hours like it's nothing. And I'm like, you have other Steam games, right? And they're like, yeah, but we like Ark. So I'm really tempted, but I'm afraid of it.
Yeah, I think I just got talked into and then talked out of picking this game up in that little conversation. Honestly, no, it sounds really cool. Like, I'm way more interested in it now. It's good to hear somebody who played it.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I haven't been playing it for very long, but I love it. There's just so much you can do with it, and there's just so many mods that make it even more fun as well. Mm. It's just so good. Also, you get to ride dinosaurs. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It reminds me of what I was thinking about Turok the other day, and you have, bows and arrows and dinosaurs, and it kind of has that vibe, I think. And I'm really tempted.
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely next time feels it comes like on old sale. School Turok.
That's awesome. Jamie, let's hear about your game mechanics.
Okay, so I'm glad that we did this week, because I had a little time off and I actually had most of Thursday to play games. But I've been having some pretty serious audio issues, and I've been trying different games to solve them. And so I sat down, and I'm trying different games, trying to figure out what's funky with the audio and what's not. And I just offhandedly fire up Splinter Cell Conviction, which has been on my system forever, and it's old. And I started playing it, and I looked up 5 hours later, and I was still playing. And I'm glad that we're talking about mechanics today, because that game is the least Splinter Cell game that has ever been released in that franchise. It drives me crazy, because to play it well, you have to play it exactly as the developer intended. And for the last 50 hours, I've been playing a game that's the exact opposite in Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which that game is about you and how you want to tackle a given obstacle. And there's like 8 zillion ways to do something, which is a very rare thing in games. So to have been playing that and then go back to something that is not built that way just does not feel good at all. Like, once you get used to that flexibility, it's like, okay, I've just spent 4 hours playing this, but I'm getting frustrated because I want to play the game this way. So on the mechanic side of things, I think flexibility is a mechanic in games that is rare unless you find one that does it really well, and they're few and far between.
Yeah, that's very fair. I one of the ones I was going to bring up as a game that I love the mechanics of is Dishonored, in part because it's so flexible that that's depending on how you want to play it, you can choose what powers to use, and so you can go in like guns blazing, or you could be super stealth, or you can kind of do some hybrid of that or whatever. And so it's a game that really kind of lets you personalize mechanics to what you enjoy. So I'll mention really quick both what I've been playing, and as a plug for the Patreon, I'll talk about Heat Signature a little bit more. If you are a member of the Patreon, you can go by and see our gameplay video that we did last week. That's about half an hour, 40 minutes or so of us playing Heat Signature, which is this kind of random, obscure top-down. I compare it to kind of the original Grand Theft Auto, the top-down when we were talking about Grand Theft Auto earlier. But the kind of top-down thing, except it's in space and you're like hijacking spaceships or like stealing stuff off of spaceships and then returning it home. And so having played some more of it now from the video that was posted, I've gotten better at it and learned some more of the mechanics that make it fun. It's just kind of nuts and crazy. And it's great for how I play games, because like I can just play it for 5 minutes and do a mission, because most of them are pretty quick. And if I die, like it's no big deal, because it's permadeath, but it's infinite character. So if you lose a character, if they like actually die, you lose like all the gear and stuff that they had. So like at some point you get interested in keeping them alive just because you have really good gear, and it makes the game mechanics more fun because of that. But if they do die, you just start over. You start over with a scratch person and you kind of keep on. And there's a bigger kind of macro level of trying to liberate all these bases that continues, that I'm probably about halfway through at this point. I don't know, there's a bunch of them, and so that can go on for a while. But the real fun is trying to figure out how you're going to accomplish whatever task you're given on each one of these spaceships. And so there's different little items that'll give you abilities, like that you can swap places with one of the enemy characters. So the guards like huddle up in rooms together, and so you can swap places with them like through walls and stuff. And so you can jump into the room where all the guards are removing one of them because you swap places with him and then kill the rest of them if you're quick. Otherwise, you get caught or whatever. Or you can like teleport into a room for 2 seconds and then it'll automatically teleport you back out. And that's especially handy. Like if you get shot, it'll teleport you back out before they can capture you. And then you get essentially like another chance. And so the brilliance of it is trying to find kind of all these little combinations of what items you can use and kind of what sequence to pull off these really kind of action movie kind of sequences that are super rewarding when they work and then really humorous and kind of like you feel cool still when they fail because like you tried it and it seemed like ridiculous and over the top and yet it was still fun. And so it's just a good balance of that, but it definitely takes a little bit of time to figure out what you're doing to make sense of what those are. And so if you go watch the video on the Patreon, which we'd highly encourage you to do, you'll see it very early in the game when I still have no idea what I'm doing. I now have a much better idea of what I'm doing, which means honestly I'll probably die even more because I take a lot more risks and I'm a lot more brazen.
It's
with the with
more
the
video, sir.
Right, so we'll definitely have to reboot that one and show off some more of it because it's super fun. I recommend it. It's an indie title, so it's I'm sure not terribly expensive on Steam, and it'll come on sale. So it's worth a couple bucks to have even just a couple hours with it. It's fun. You can pick it up from time to time. There's no story to it really. I mean, there's little like character stories, and so like there's a character right now I'm playing that like his wife was captured, but I don't care because there's no backstory to him or whatever. And so like it seems like it should be like this encouraging me to go finish this mission to rescue this dude's wife, but I haven't had any desire to just because there's no like other connection to this character. I can't tell you what the character's name is or whatever. It's just all about the gameplay, which turns out to be quite fun. So well, yeah, go check that one out.
You have a thing about liberating bases, and so that's I think that's really interesting that you have all these different ships and galaxies. And so, I mean, it seems like a huge game, and it's procedurally generated, yes. So it's never the same game. And it's really interesting. I haven't picked it up yet because I know for a fact I'm going to suck at it.
Is handy that you can pause at any time to kind of it's VATS-ish from Fallout, and that you can kind of give orders. And so you can pause, do an action, pause, do an action, pause, do an action. My biggest flaw in the game is that I don't utilize that enough, that I try to do too much stuff in real time, when in actuality I could be pausing a lot more and being a lot more strategic. But I'm like teleport into a room and I'm like, yeah, kill them all, and then I get shot and it's like, ah, that didn't work, so if I was a little more strategic, I'd probably be better at the game. But you can play it that way. It has that mechanic in there, which is cool. I'm bad about that in Fallout too. Like I just go into gunfights and I'm like, oh yeah, VATS. I can actually like be more methodical about this, and I'm just firing off the hip. So yeah.
See, and that's why I'm terrified to record Fallout, because I'm the opposite. I'm VATS all the time. Yeah. And it's got to be really boring and not a whole lot of fun to watch, because, I mean, I'm constantly in VATS and very, very, very rarely real time. So,
That's fair.
I definitely got to pick it up, though, and we got to say thanks to Duff for that one. That's another one of those that we got put in our lap. We have so many of those right now. Because of you guys keep giving us stuff, which is insane. I don't know how we're going to play it all, but thanks, yeah. Duff.
Let me, because you said that, now it made me think of one more. Just really, I'll be super brief on this one, because I do want to come back to the quick time events thing, because I have some questions about that. But another one that Duff dropped in our lap, because Duff is the king of VR, I forget what the name of it is. It's a golf game in VR. But it's like super like pro golf. So I've been playing like Golf Story on the Switch, which is like pixels, pixel art and totally like RPG ridiculous over the top. Still around golf, but just silly. This is like serious pro, like puts Tiger Woods golf games to shame, which I love Tiger Woods golf games, but does it in VR, which is incredibly fun and challenging at the same time.
We got to play that one in the same room because yes. I got to know what that looks like.
I was just so paranoid the whole, I've only spent maybe a half an hour with it or whatever, but I was just so scared of hitting something because I have the VR, you know, headset on. And then like, it's like a full golf swing. It's not like you're kind of playing. If you want to hit the ball, you've got to like legit swing. And so like, it's all the way up over your shoulder and full swing through. And then it's also tracking, you know, angles and all that stuff. It's challenging. It's like I played several holes and my average was like 8 or 9, you know, on like par fours, par fives. So
you didn't throw your back out, did you?
I did not. That's something that is totally possible at this point in my life, but did not happen. So I did not injure myself, and I luckily did not break anything at this point, which is
that one we're gonna have to like clear out the conference room at the office.
And, right. And, yeah, you need that kind of space for it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how many. Hospital. VR related hospital visits are starting to happen now.
People
walking into tables and doors and
or broken TVs. Like,
yeah, that was my biggest fear. And I did once. So one of the like mechanics in the game is that like you just have to reach out to pull clubs out of your bag. And I reached out and smacked my TV while I was reaching out. It was not hard, luckily, but it was a little terrifying that I just had no clue. Like, you lose so much spatial awareness. And so, like, just natural movements like that, I accidentally punched my TV. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, I'm like pulling off my VR headset to make sure I didn't poke a hole in my TV. Which it didn't. Everything was fine. But still, in that moment, you kind of freak out. So, yeah. All mechanics in VR are weird. Like, they're just, like, some of them work so well. Some of them are very, very foreign and strange. And some of them have that kind of uncanny valley thing where they're almost right. And yet feel so awkward because they're just not quite right. And so, yeah. That's a whole nother thing. So let me follow up really quick, though. I want to go back to QuickTime events, because when we talked about that, I think that's a game mechanic that even when Spider brought it up, got a lot of groans and it tends to do that. That I think most of us would probably agree isn't the best game mechanic in the games that make use of it. Like in Uncharted, just feel weird. They don't love it. But I also think about, and Jamie and I love these games, and everybody else probably hates them, but we love the Quantic Dream games. And so thinking of oh my goodness, Fahrenheit. What's the
Indigo Prophecy?
Indigo Prophecy. Heavy Rain, yes, as well.
I have to buy a PS4 when Detroit becoming human.
Detroit. Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious because those are games that are built heavily, primarily on QuickTime events, and The Walking Dead, the Telltale games are also very much like that, which I love those as well. For anybody who wants to jump in here, is that can you get over a bad game mechanic, or is it a not bad game mechanic if it's executed better? Maybe that's the answer. But can you get over a bad game mechanic if you really like the story or the game's plot or something on a more macro level?
I really enjoy QuickTime events, though. I think it slows the story down, lets you enjoy it, and yeah.
It's a fair point.
It's dependent on the game. Like, I like them in the Quantic Dream games because I go in there knowing that that's how the story has progressed. I absolutely agree with all of the Uncharted games. I mean, they are some of my favorite games. And then you get to the end, and the final, they all have this. The boss fights in every Uncharted game have always been really, really clunky. And it's like they just haven't been able to come up with a better way to finish the game. So in the context of an Uncharted game, it does feel a little bit out of place.
I was going to say, yeah, Quantic Dream stuff, like, I really liked Heavy Rain is them too, right? I think somebody said that. Yeah, that's them. That's probably my favorite of them. I wasn't a fan of the Beyond Two Souls at all. That's a game where that did not work. It is about execution. You're right. Another game that's that kind of game, I don't believe it's the same developer, but Until Dawn, which is
I was just about to mention that one.
Yeah, I really liked that one. Because
I love
that
game.
They did a lot of stuff right. They did the QuickTime stuff in a way where it feels like it's actually a great game to play with somebody else. It's not co-op, but, you know, obviously sharing the controller back and forth because you're just kind of screaming like, oh, my God, do this, go in this room, do this, like... It gets that horror movie thing because it is a horror movie basically that you're playing through. It gets that down really well. And so when you're building the QuickTime mechanics around something like that, it could work. But if you're just putting it at the end of an Uncharted game, for instance, it really does not work. I did not like most of the endings of the Uncharted games in those areas. Although I will say the newer one, I forget what it's called, the $40 one. Yes, that one. That's my favorite Uncharted game because of how just straightforward it is. It's like only 7 or 8 hours long, but it feels like it doesn't, because like Uncharted 4 is great, but I think it's like 15 hours or something. It kind of overstays its welcome. It's got some sections that just kind of slog. That other one, though, is just very like clear cut. Like it feels like you're doing what you need to do in every moment. And the ending is like one of the, they basically took the Jeep section of Uncharted 4 and just made it even more amazing and ridiculous. It has a little bit of a quick time thingy with the boss fight, but it doesn't overstay its welcome like some of the stuff in the other titles. So
I'm really excited to try that out. That's next on my list after I finish off World of Final Fantasy. Two games that came to my mind, which you don't think of them as quick time event games, but they are Dance Dance Revolution and Patapon. And it's just because the quick time event is so in succession, like you're hitting the button, you know, in like any kind of beat rhythm game where you're hitting the button in time with the beat. I mean, it technically is a quick time event. It's just done so quickly and is integrated into the game in such a way that it doesn't become like a problem. So those were just two games that I'm sure there's others that are like that where they've implemented it well.
Yeah. No, those are all good points.
Well, I was just gonna bring up it has a, tell me you're right, it has a lot to do with the game because I despise them because I'm a handicapped guy with no reflexes, but I will play every Walking Dead game. I played the Batman games, and I actually there's video of those on the Patreon. And I put those up for you guys, and those are heavily edited because there's a lot of deaths in the edits, but there's even more that I cut out. And so it's like I want to get through the game, so I have to figure out how to get around it being a guy with cerebral palsy, whether that's, you know, doing a macro on the keyboard or whatever it is, but I tolerate it because I love the games. If it's in a game that's not good, I'm not even going to try. And so a lot is what you're playing.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. For whatever mechanic it is, there's going to be a game that's able to execute it well and make it fun, and there's going to be games that fail at it miserably. One more I'll bring up. I would love to hear anybody else's ideas of mechanics that are either that you don't like or tired and just cliche at this point. I think of fast travel as being one that's really hit or miss, that some games pull it off really well, and then some games it disincentivizes you from exploration as much as you can. One that I'll say that I think pulls it off really well, that I just absolutely adore, is Breath of the Wild. That even in the context of the fast travel in the game, that you can fast travel to shrines or to towers. First, you have to unlock them, and so you have to go get them. And especially like the shrines, like you have to be really intentional about that. You could bypass a ton of shrines in the game and still play through the game. But even if you do unlock a bunch of shrines, like they're still spaced far enough apart that even with fast travel, it doesn't feel like you're just skipping stuff all the time. Like you can still like kind of randomly run into stuff. I think about Grand Theft Auto as it potentially being the other side of that, where you can use fast travel and just miss so much game content. And I tend to avoid fast travel more in like a Grand Theft Auto title because I want to see more of the world. I guess it's nice to be able to get around quicker, but it just disincentivizes you from exploring there as much. So I would love to hear if anybody else has thoughts on that, thinks I'm crazy, or other game examples that fit in there well.
For fast travel, I try not use it until I'm deep into like end game story. I will walk everywhere as long as I can and just burn as many. I burn hours, and that's the problem. Is I play games like The Witcher or Fallout and Skyrim, and you just get lost in the side quests. You're just like, ah, I was going to do this, but I have been 4 hours chasing after wheels of cheese.
I feel kind of the same way. Like there's like I've been talking about Mankind Divided a lot, but there's no fast travel in there, and I'm like 25% through the game and I've got 50 some hours, you know. I'm like, this is a game that could probably use more than it's got, but it just depends on where you're at. Like in a game like Fallout, you have to have it, or you're walking forever. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're gonna miss a lot randomly in the desert somewhere.
Yeah, I think a Fallout is a really good example of that, too, in that even if you use fast travel, you're still walking a ton. And you still get to kind of stumble across things that work out well. There's some games that have it balanced well that take advantage of the system while not letting you miss tons of content. I think Witcher is great at that, too.
I was going to say Witcher, yeah, because you can only use signposts. You have to be at a signpost to fast travel to another one. It kind of makes you go into unexplored areas and find some stuff. So
yeah, the fact that both ends of the fast travel are a specific location, whereas like Zelda, you can fast travel from anywhere to a specific place, but if you have to go from a specific place, and I take it back playing The Witcher 3, there were so many times that I just ran across a random side quest because I was going to the signpost, you know, like I overheard something on my way to fast travel and then got on that rabbit hole for a wheel of cheese for 3 hours and had a blast, you know, and it was something that just happened because I was trying to get to the fast travel point. So yeah,
can we bring up Horizon, because I've noticed with you playing Horizon, we're getting later in the game and you're using fast travel packs more. Because you're not close to a bonfire and you need to get where you're going because you've only got so much time. And so you're using fast travel packs more. And one thing I wanted to ask you about is, how do you feel about those? Because that's a mechanic that I'm not, that's a fast travel mechanic that I'm not really seeing in that it's a consumable object.
Yeah. It's a craftable item where you can buy them, but you have to use something in order to fast travel, which I think is good. I'm also, generally speaking, we've talked about this a lot on the show. I'm just a cheap human being. I just don't like to spend money in general, and that also applies to games. There's a lot of ways that my in-game persona is different than my real-life persona. This isn't one of them. I tend to be a resource hog. Like, I just hold on to stuff. I just hoard crap. And so you're right. In Horizon, like, for the longest time, I went fast travel because I only had, like, 7 packs and I was afraid of running out and actually needing them or something. I finally have gotten over that. But I do stupid stuff like that. Like if I ever get like below 10 potions in a game, like I start freaking out and just go like, you know, mining resources to make potions or whatever. And so it actually incentivized me, especially early on in Horizon, not to fast travel very often because I didn't want to use the resources. And I knew that it was limited. And so I kind of wanted to save it for when I knew I was going to need it. Now, deeper into the game, I feel a lot more comfortable, and I've hoarded so many resources that I can make a billion of them, honestly. And so, like, if I need them, I know what I need to get, or that I have what I need to have to be able to make them. But I think it is a good mechanic. I like that as making at least a little bit of a punitive side to using a fast travel system.
And it's not something like I can't think of another game that I've ever seen that in.
I'm sure there is, but off the top of my head, I can't either. It's a good idea. Like, so.
Yeah, it is, and that's one of those games. Just to wrap this up, Horizon is one of those games that does a lot of mechanics really well, and then does some really badly. And the one that we continue to talk about that it does really badly is jumping. It just doesn't work.
Well, I'll just say real quick on that. I think the thing that really sort of puts that over under like a magnifying glass is that game came out right before Breath of the Wild. You guys played it after Breath of the Wild. And to go from a game where you can just climb everything, which is going to be the new norm, you know it's going to be, then play Horizon. What I mean is Breath of the Wild does something that no other open world game has done, where he can just climb like almost anything. And then if you go play Horizon, where it's like she has to find the uncharted grabby things. Yeah.
Right.
It's like this mountain woman really should just be able to climb this mountain. Like, it just feels stupid.
And at least should be somewhere in between. Like, sure. Zelda's like, over the top, love.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Zelda, I love that mechanic, by the way. My favorite thing about Breath of the Wild is just climbing up stuff and then paragliding down. You know, like that as a game mechanic was just amazing and just made traveling that world so much fun. And Horizon is just frustrating, even not with the expectation that it does it to that level, but that it would do something a little bit more. And just like places that you can't get to, weird like clipping issues and that kind of stuff.
There's times where she can jump absurdly high. And there's times where clearly she should be able to get on top of something and it just doesn't work. It's like, I agree. Yeah, it gets pretty annoying when you have to run all the way around a mountain that you can tell. It's like, she could just climb this. Like, let's be honest, this is a little silly. But, yeah.
That's a small complaint of a really, really great game.
Yes,
it's a phenomenal game. But it is frustrating in the moment. So, yeah, we'll definitely mention that one in there. Any others, just really quick, before we start wrapping up, any other game mechanics that anybody hates or thinks should go away?
Escort missions.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Any specific game you want to bring up in that context?
I guess there aren't a lot. I can't think of one specifically recently, but I mean, you still see it sometimes, and it's just it's pretty rarely good. That's one of the things I really appreciate about Last of Us is that is it Ellie is her name, right?
Yeah.
She just doesn't. You never really have to worry about her. They somehow made it to where it's like, even though there's funny times where she probably should have been seen by the thing, the game just like gives it a pass because it's like, we don't want you to have to worry about the girl. Like, we're not going to make The Last of Us just a giant escort mission. So, yeah.
The one for me, just to wrap this up, because I ran into this in Splinter Cell, and it does it in GTA a lot. Is badly placed checkpoints. Like it drives me crazy when I'm playing a game and there's no way to save other than a checkpoint. And there are games that do this really well. Halo did it really well. There's other games that do it really well. But then there's games that just do it badly. And it literally makes me want to stop playing a game. And that's what I like about Horizon is you've got to get to a bonfire to save. But there's bonfires everywhere while also not being one every 5 feet.
Yeah, but it also penalizes you because I've been really frustrated with Horizon at times that I died a long time after the last time I visited Bonfire when I was just out exploring. Because like when you're in like the cauldrons and stuff, they do have some good checkpoints in there. But when you're just out in the world, like I remember, you know, like losing like 45 minutes of gameplay because I was just kind of out exploring and I died. And it took me all the way back to the last Bonfire, which I was like, oh my goodness, it'd really been this long since I'd gone to a Bonfire. And I did all these things that like I had stuff or whatever. It's good and bad. Overall, I think it's a good mechanic because once I got frustrated about it once, I'm at Bonfires all the time. You know, like it put in my head the value of that mechanic in the game. So I learned quickly. I hear you though. There are some games that have terrible checkpoints. This was, and there's other ones that just like every 2 feet, like you're hitting a checkpoint, and so there's no penalty to dying, which also can be an issue. There's a happy medium in there somewhere for sure. Any other thoughts on that? Any other games anybody wants to bring up?
Outlast.
Okay.
There's a lot of like puzzles and stuff that you got to do during Outlast, and it's a little bit tedious as well because once you get one thing, there's another thing that you have to do, like over and over again. It's like the same things. Spenny, you could tell him. You played Outlast.
Yeah. You helped me through Outlast, is what I should say.
Yeah. I knew where everything was, but I didn't spoil anything for him. I let him find out on his own. But if you need help, I'll be like, hey, go over there. Yeah. There's something you missed over there.
Yeah, well, it's very story driven. You can definitely like learn a lot more about the story if you actually took the time and played through it. But yeah.
Well,
I
think people talk about The Witcher a lot because something The Witcher 3, I can't say this about the other two, but something that The Witcher 3 does really well, and I can't believe that we haven't brought it up with other games, is there's a lot of games out there that do really, really tedious fetch quests, and The Witcher just doesn't really seem to have that. There's a reason to go and do whatever it is that you're doing. That's another thing that Horizon does really well. That's a rare thing. There's not a whole lot of, hey, go get me 20 of this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think of that so much as an MMO element in World of Warcraft. I understood why that was a thing, but then it feels like a really lazy way to add game time to, especially like a single player RPG or a single player game experience where, like, I don't need to level up in order to be able to compete against other people. Like, keep the game like pacing right, you know. Like, pacing in an MMO is much different than pacing in a single player RPG. Would you give me a whole bunch of go get 20 herbs or whatever, like, and then you bring them back and they're like, cool, awesome, here's, you know, 5 gold or whatever, and then it doesn't play into anything else? Because The Witcher definitely has some of those quests, but thinking back, I feel like most of those quests felt like they were accomplishing something. Like, you've got to get this, or like this person's going to die, you know.
Yeah, and then there's always
like that person like then gives you a new quest after you go fetch the things. That's another thing and another thing. And so there was one with I don't even remember. I'm a butcher so bad. I'm not even going to try. But there was one in The Witcher 3 that I was like, oh, it's a stupid fetch quest. And then like 3 hours later, I was like, this is amazing. You know, like, this storyline is super compelling. And so if you could turn it into something that's worth my time, by all means, make me go fetch something. But if it's just, you know, 10 XP and 5 gold or whatever, then I got better stuff to do with my time.
I think we've now hit every game mechanic out there.
No.
Like, we've been well done, our team. I think we've literally hit everything.
That was good. Well done, Josh. Good topic.
Very good. Very good. And all that being said, it is time to wrap up. We've been here way too long, but that's how you know it's been a good roundtable. We say it every time, but this is like the favorite thing that we do. And now that Dia has been on the roundtable, she's gonna go listen to the actual show and be like, "What the crap is this? These guys are ridiculous." Yeah. But I hate to say it, but the roundtable is probably actually better than just Tommy and I doing what we do and what we have done for 13 years. So we have a blast doing this. We hope you guys do as well. You know what's crazy to me about the roundtable is we don't get emails from people that aren't here that go, "Hey, the roundtable really rocks." I think the only people that really enjoy the roundtable are the people that are here. So thank you guys for being here every single month, even though we have a really hard time getting it done when it's supposed to be done. We're having a blast. We hope you guys are too. If you are listening and you would like to get involved, you can of course go to Patreon to get that done. This is a bonus that we give to people who support us, and we're really, really glad to have all those people that do. We're very, very lucky to have that, and we're just really, really thankful. It's a lot of fun, and we really enjoy it.
I was just going to add on, just really briefly, for the Patreon stuff, there is a ton of content over there too, because we did some video stuff last week. And so if you haven't checked it out recently, now's a good time to go hear us talk about video games and random comic books and watch us play Heat Signature for a while. And so there's some good content over there. So like JB said, if you're interested in supporting us on Patreon, we would love it. If you just want to hang out and listen to the show, we appreciate that a ton too. You go by gamingandcensored.com. The Patreon link's right there at the top of the page. So echoing Jamie, thank you guys so much for being here. We appreciate it a ton, as always. This is, for us, a blast. We love it. And so we had a good time.
Which, by the way, still haven't gotten the Flintstones. I've got to pick that up. That is,
it's really good. I need to get back into it. I need to get farther than two issues through it. So, yeah. So we'll come back and talk comic books at some point as well.
That's a roundtable topic right there. We'll have to do comic books.
That would be fun.
Anime.
I know nothing about anime. That's out of my world. But comic books I can at least pretend to hang with a little bit. So anyway, all that being said, we need a wrap. So thank you guys for being here. This has been the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for January/February at this point. We will be back next month. We are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.